What's up, you guys? Sean Ross, at managing editor, FightfulSelect.com. It is retro review time. Now, this is a solo retro review because it's a request retro review. Just a little bit of a rundown. If you are a subscriber to our champion tier, which is $50 a month, in addition to all the other stuff you get, you also get one free plug on a show of ours per month. It can be your Twitter, whatever, somebody else's Twitter, any of that stuff. But you also get to recommend a retro review, a column, a podcast, something like that. If you save it up for 2 months, you can appear on that show with me. But Brickbat sent me perhaps the most creative and different request for a retro review that I've ever gotten, because this isn't something that I've ever covered. Total Divas. One episode in particular from July 2015. And a lot of people, when I posted this on Twitter, thought, oh, I can't believe you're doing this. Can't wait to see this. I'm excited to do it. I've never covered it before. I've watched Total Divas here and there. I've wanted to watch it all the way through. It is completely scripted. Like, this show is 100% scripted. And that's okay. But I'm going to review it as the characters, as if it were real, so to speak. Like, how else can I do it? I like this. Not only that, but Brickbat helped me out a lot. Hit me with a bunch of questions and points that he wanted me to cover. But a reminder, guys, you all subscribe to that tier 1 month, and you get to recommend a retro review. If you save it up for 2 months, you can be on that show with me. If you save it up for 3 months, you can have Warren on the show, too, because we got to pay his ass. But I'm doing this one solo. We're talking about this episode of Total Divas from 2015. If you guys want to watch it, it is episode 4, season 4. It's on the network. I will post a link to where it is on the network as well. The show starts off with Daniel Bryan, who is, quite frankly, based on this and Table for Three, the guy's a bully, man. He picks on Ryback. He picks on Nikki Bella. Now, throughout the episode, we see that this is bothering Nikki Bella. And Daniel Bryan thinks he's being funny and thinks he's being affectionate and all that, but it bothers Nikki Bella. Like, I mean, obviously she's become quite okay with it, because now on the Bella Twins channel, Daniel Bryan does the Bella Brain segments, where he kind of pokes fun that maybe they're not the most well-read individuals in the world, and compares their knowledge on various subjects. But Nikki is very bothered that Daniel Bryan finds her, quite frankly, so dumb. And Daniel Bryan keeps poking and prodding and poking and prodding, and it's having a mental effect on Nikki, and understandably so. I mean, sometimes like that, poking fun with people is nice, but if that's all you do, man, that can get exhausting. I've had that with people that think that they're on that level of familiarity with me or comfortability, and I'm like, hey, listen, you can be my friend and be nice. You don't have to be a dickbag to me all the time or pretend that you are. Daniel Bryan would also like kind of zone in on the fact that Nikki, I don't want to say pretends, but says that she cares about the Earth but consumes a lot of materials, and that she doesn't really do anything. She just worries about doing things instead. Now, I've spent most of my life studying interpersonal communication, but this is very much an amateur diagnosis, but I would suggest that maybe that Daniel Bryan sees how Nikki and Bree chop it up and figures it because he's a part of the family, and or assumes that he's a part of the family. Back then, at least, this is 4 years ago, that he can kind of chop it up with Nikki in the same way that Bree does, and maybe Nikki isn't at that level quite yet. There are some issues about this show that I, as somebody who has produced some content, it just screams fake to me, and it happens on all reality shows, but like when somebody arrives at the door and you can tell they've already got a mic pack on because you can hear them perfectly fine, it drives me nuts. Like, I get it, it's not real, it's never gonna be real, whatever. But that does take me out of it a little bit. It affects the suspension of disbelief to some regard. A minor complaint, if any, because let's be real, I know that what I'm watching is scripted. That's okay. Now, when Brickbat sent me this, One of the things that he listed was the amazing amount of cats that Natty agrees to foster, and I thought to myself, it can't be that bad. I mean, if you have myself on any other form of social media, you probably know that I fostered cats. I still do here and there. But my wife and I have given away, I think we've taken in and rehomed about 36 cats, including several feral cats over the years, because our town just has a ton of them. Some of them, the feral cats end up at barns. That way they can be mouse cats. That way they can kind of keep those out of the crops and things of that nature. And many have become house cats. Lots of stuff like that. So I'm thinking, okay, we've had maybe at one time, maybe we've had 12, 13, including the cats that we own. And then subsequently gave some of the fosters away. Natty, because of a relationship that she has with a local shelter, has taken in 18 cats. And I gotta say, even in character, Tyson Kidd reacts in a much more docile manner than most human beings would. He was like, you couldn't have said no. There's 18 cats. That's a lot of litter. That's a lot of cats. What are you doing? She didn't know it would be that many, but hey, if we're breaking this down, if you're doing that type of thing, you have to ask how many cats. You have to ask how long it's going to be. You have to say, hey, in the event that this doesn't end up working out, you got to take them back. Now, there is almost no situation that I've ever been in my years of fostering cats where 18 cats have been brought up. 18! Man, we see Ellie Hart. This is, man, to hear her talk, it's just like, oh, that's that Hart family voice. And it was adorable. I loved it. I thought it was great. Ellie Hart was there, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, God rest his soul. I'm not religious, but God rest his soul. He was pretty tame about it too. So was Ellie. Everybody in this situation handled this much better than I possibly could have. There's no way I could have handled it that way. Now, one of them got out because they have a screened-in pool area. Now, the screened-in pool area is primarily comprised of the pool, but Natty's like, how did one get out? Oh, you can never, ever put cats in a screen area. It's honestly a little bit dangerous to put them in like a metal screened area. Because if you put them in a wire screened area, oh no. No, no. That cat's getting out. They can get through that very easily. Cats like to poke their heads through the corners of stuff, and they'll just rip it apart, quite frankly. So, not a great idea. We see a thing where Daniel Bryan continues to pick on Nikki Bella. And the thing is, like, he's told, like, Bree is breaking the news to Nikki that if you treat a place like a barn, we're going to put your stuff in a barn. Man, that's just next level dickheadishness. Yikes. This was at least emotionally investing. What I can say wasn't is the whole Paige, Alicia Fox, Kevin situation. Man. This just made everybody look like a complete piece of shit, to be honest with you. So Paige was supposed to move in with Alicia Fox, her friend. They were going to move in together. She had planned it, all that stuff. Paige instead moves in with a guy that she's been dating for a little while that she would break up with 7 months later. And the way that she breaks it to Alicia is saying, hey, I'm not moving in with you, and then walks off. Like, comically. And Alicia chases her down. And then they have a housewarming party where Alicia really puts her and Kevin on the spot. Now, that's a shitty thing to do, isn't it? How dare she? How dare Paige? How dare Alicia? Why doesn't Kevin have some responsibility here? I'll say this. Paige definitely has a type. Has a type. Alicia brings up ex-boyfriends and stuff like that. They make up later on. Wade Barrett walks by. There's not there's just not a lot of substance to this. It's just a bunch of people being really shitty, man. And that's not good. I don't want to see these people being shitty to each other. That's sad. Alicia Fox had trouble focusing during her match with Naomi. I'll bring that back up later. Naomi also had the Marshawn Lynch line, "I'm just here so I don't get fined." It was not funny when she had to explain it. So Titus, Heath Slater, and Adam Rose ask Natty if they can ride with her. They've had some sort of mishap with the car. This is completely constructed for the sake of the show, obviously. But you got a few entertaining guys. You have Heath Slater, who's very entertaining. Titus, who's loud at the very least. And Adam Rose, kind of the wild card, not the only one not involved with WWE anymore. I think the only one not involved with WWE anymore that we've even talked about on this show to this point. Now, we do see that Emma was riding along with somebody a little bit later on, and that was good to see her. She's got a really good, dry sense of humor, and I like that. I miss seeing Emma around, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's WWE, whether it's NXT. I miss seeing her around. But TJ is like, no, I don't really want them to ride with us. But Natty's already said yes, and the theme of this show is that Natty can't tell people no. She's Jim Carrey and Yes Man. Well, after he had stopped telling people no. But when they get in the car, they get on the subject of Natty and TJ's sex life. And to TJ, that's a private thing. And you can tell that, hey, I can relate to that. I don't want everybody knowing my personal business. Quite frankly, whatever you do and that type of thing, if you don't want people to know it, it's your own business as long as it's legal. And you could tell that TJ was a little off-put by this. So Heath says, hey, can we stop and eat at my buddy's? And they assume it's a restaurant, but no, it's a strip club named Buddy's that they are going to eat at. TJ is livid. Again, that's not everybody's thing. That's not everybody's jam. Is it mine? Yes, it is. But that is not TJ's jam. In fact, Natty gets up on the stage, doesn't do anything too provocative or anything like that. I was really surprised that didn't turn into a bit of a story there. Because considering that he had had some issues with Natty, I figured that considering his issues with the driving, the cats, the strip club in general, that he would find out that she was up on the stage and maybe be off-put by that to some degree. In the end, all was okay. Natty said, I'll make up for it tonight. And that got a big pop from everybody. And it was all worth it. Here's the thing. The show built and built and built really to that moment. It closed with the Alicia and Paige shit, which was dumb. But this was the climax, pun intended, of the show. And all it was a pop from everybody in the car and TJ just cracking a smile. That was it. Like, after you had seen him so stoic throughout the hour of the broadcast, him just cracking, like, this little smile was enough. And they followed up and TJ kind of gave her a life lesson about saying no and not being afraid to say no, not letting people take advantage of her. And that is a life lesson. It's very sitcom-esque in that regard. So, yeah, you know what? A lot of people thought that when I said I was doing this, they thought that I would hate Total Divas. I don't hate Total Divas. I do not hate the show. In fact, when I was a kickboxing instructor, that type of show is what a lot of people in my class, because it's a female-heavy class, they'd be talking about it. They know who Jimmy and Jey Uso are, but they don't know who The Undertaker are. So I've got that basic level of familiarity. It's not something I watch every week because it's not necessary for me to cover pro wrestling. But I don't mind it. There were times when I was like, yeah, I need to go through and watch all these. I don't know that I'll ever, ever have the time to do that, but I have seen it with some semblance of regularity, at least a couple episodes per year to be familiar with the cast and kind of how they're portrayed and all that. And I don't think it's a terrible show in the grand scheme of reality shows. When it comes to reality shows, I watch Naked and Afraid, which is minimally scripted, and that's it. I watch Miz and Mrs. I'll watch some WWE-themed stuff. I watch Total Bellas for a little while. But I'm not a big reality TV show guy. But hey, when it's characters that I'm familiar with and I'm emotionally invested in on Monday, Tuesdays, and some other days, then yeah, I can get behind a little bit more. Now, Brickbat sent me a series of questions that went along with this, and I encourage that for future retro reviews if you guys are just recommending stuff. He said, what do you think of the crossover of Total Divas on WWE programming? The many, many fans that only know WWE based on their appearances on Total Divas, vice versa, and the storylines that are continued. Now, here's the thing. If you don't watch Total Divas, you don't really understand how many shows or how many matches are set up strictly to get some footage for, like, buffer spots in Total Divas or Total Bellas or whatever the hell it may be. Like, tonight you had Naomi and Alicia Fox. So, there are lots of situations where there are dark matches or main event matches in particular. Matches that don't matter. Main event is more valuable to Total Divas than it is main event. Because they can book so many of these matches. I mentioned that the crossover, a lot of the women who took my classes would know TJ Wilson. And they wouldn't know him as Tyson Kidd. They'd know him as TJ Wilson. So they would know the name TJ Wilson, but they wouldn't know the name Roman Reigns. Just how awesome Natty and TJ are? Yeah, TJ's clearly a bit of an introvert. Natty's a little bit different. I wouldn't call her an introvert. She wants to please everybody, obviously. Daniel Bryan, an all-time Total Divas MVP. As far as creating story, yeah, for sure. He is very important for creating story there because he can be sympathetic, he can be an asshole, he can be funny, he can be that comic relief. He is also somebody that is associated with both of the Bellas here and someone that you can put in there to kind of make them a little bit more interesting. The Bellas had been heavily featured on this show for just lots and lots and lots of time, and Daniel Bryan coming along and being injected into that, I think, rather helps. Just how underrated is Alicia Fox? As far as a personality, I think that she is, especially if we're talking like a reality show. Man, because she's over the top. Like, in her mannerisms, in the way that she talks, in like the volume that she talks, in the tone of her voice, in a lot of that stuff, it is just completely in key with a lot of reality shows and the colorful characters that you want on those reality shows. So, yeah, I think that she is a perfect fit for Total Divas. And whether it be as a guest or a main character, she's been there through it all. And really, there are a handful of people that have done that. Brie Bella, Naomi, Natalya, and Nikki Bella. I mean, those are the key ones that have been there through everything. And only Natalya, Nikki Bella, and Brie Bella have been there as main stars. And I doubt that Alicia Fox will ever be back on the show full-time again. Because it's been 3 seasons. And she's just a guest. But I would find that hard to believe. And let's be honest. They are 110 episodes and 8 seasons in. The show has been on the air for, gosh, 6 years. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. As long as he's happy with it, and as long as he's happy with it and they're paying a premium, I can't see why WWE would not continue doing it. I mean, it's an extra payday for all these people. It's extra exposure, albeit minimal, for all these people. Does Sean miss Cameron and Vinny, or did he even notice they were written off the show? I don't miss Cameron and Vinny on anything. I don't miss Cameron on WWE programming. I don't miss her on Total Divas. I don't miss her on anything. Let me tell you all a story about her. So one of my things, one of my responsibilities, not responsibilities, it's something I would do, when I was trying to make a name for myself at Wrestling Inc., if somebody got released from WWE, I'd immediately hit them up for an interview. Immediately, because now they would have an opportunity to talk. A lot of them would want to share their stories, yada yada. I hit up Cameron and I hear back from a rep, or at least I assume it's a rep, who then sent me a link to like a TV show review I did where she had a bad match. And I think it may have even been a comment that I left on that. And they were like, oh, well, I would like to talk about this comment, this review that was left by you before we discuss an interview. And I was like, well, we can discuss that in the interview about how you pinned somebody face down, about how you didn't know what you were doing in a match. But, like, you're not going to hold an interview hostage based on an objective review that I did. So I told that one to hit the bricks and never bothered again. Not surprised. Brickbat asks about the roster changes for the upcoming season, the overhaul, and how you think Ronda Rousey will come across on the show, particularly since here on WWE she's been booked like shit. I think she'll come across as nice and sweet initially, and then they'll turn up the volume on the real Ronda Rousey, who, if she feels offended and she feels like somebody is taking advantage of her, she's really gonna step up. Now, this cast was rumored for, like it's been rumored for 7 months, and the Bellas are off of it, so they can do Total Bellas. This leads Natalya is the only full-time one. But Squared Circle Siren says that Sonya Deville will be on the show. Carmella will be on the show. Paige, Rusev, Lana not on the show anymore. Paige, that's fine. I don't know what the hell they have her doing, but I would imagine the time they filmed a lot of this, she was doing Fighting With My Family stuff. Rusev and Lana not being on this show, that's a bummer. Rusev is entertaining. Carmella's good. I would imagine that means Corey's going to be involved. Nia Jax is sidelined, so I don't know what the hell that'll be. It'll be interesting if they attack what her injuries are. I think that Sonya Deville being added is great. Let's be honest, the lesbian character on that show, I know that they've had some stories that at least walked that line before, but get some representation on there. Also, there was no Eva Marie on this show at all. That was interesting. So this episode of Total Divas was a big one for them because they started off the season at under 1 million viewers, and here and there that had happened early in seasons prior to that. But them jumping from a 0.99 to 1.08 was big. The numbers for Total Divas are just incredibly inconsistent, but or at least back then. Today, they're very consistent. They stay between like a 0.38 and a 0.41, or like as far as millions of viewers. So about 380,000 to 410,000. That's quite a fall from grace, because we're talking like they have not hit the 1 million number as far as viewers go since the premiere of season 5. And they didn't do it regularly since this season 4. That's where we are with Total Divas. I hope you guys enjoyed this retro review. That's something. Until next time, guys. Thank you to Brickbat. I will put out your plug. I'll go ahead and plug right now. Anna Bauer's Patreon. If you guys are supporting this, support Anna Bauer's Patreon. She is one of the most creative people that I have ever met. And you all should really go above and beyond to support what she's doing as well. I would encourage that. She will also get a plug at the request of Brickbat, who has that privilege, on a podcast as well. Thank you guys so much. Till next time, we're out.